because God's grace has been extended to us in a variety of ways. We think about grace as a variety of ways of trying to define or explain the word grace, the meaning of grace. Some have said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. I think I mentioned this once before, but another person defined it. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. God's grace is being extended to us, and we talk about that in this passage of Scripture. By grace, you've been saved. So let me think about that. First of all, admit that salvation is by grace. On your notes, if you're filling them in, I encourage you to do that. Admit that that's true. Salvation is by grace. The passage of Scripture on your notes is from Romans, says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." So we think of that riches, that grace of God that's been extended to us in Christ. We recognize that it's something that God gives to us that's undeserved, unworthy. Any of us, as Walt already mentioned, I'm glad I don't have to measure up to enough stuff to measure up to be good enough to get right with God. I'm glad God didn't, because if God's standard was upheld for us to do, we would never make it. We would never get there. Grace means that God gives to us things we don't deserve. It means He extends to us His love and His forgiveness. The Scripture talks about the righteousness of God that comes by faith in Christ. It's a gift of grace through Jesus. It means that we deserve something different. We've commented, you have too, and others have, "I'm glad God does not give me what I deserve." Sometimes people say, "Well, I didn't get what I deserve." Well, I'm glad God didn't give me what I deserve. Because if He gave me what I deserve, I'd spend eternity without Him. Because I've never earned enough, good enough to know there. So our salvation, our forgiveness from God is by grace. His extending to us His forgiveness because He loves us and wants us to know Him. So I admit my salvation is by grace. God has given it to me. The other verse says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." You mean I can grow in grace? I receive grace, but is that the end of grace? When I come to Christ as a lost person and I come and ask Jesus to forgive me and save me, He extends grace. But is that the only time He extends grace? Every day we live by grace. Every day. This Scripture talked about we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We think of God's grace every day. He gives us grace. You recognize that it's only by God's grace that right now your heart's beating. Right now, by grace, you're breathing. Right now, by grace, you're functioning, you're thinking. At least I hope you're thinking. Do you realize it's by grace that we're here today to worship in this place, that we have this place of worship, that we live in a country where we can worship? Over and over, as you think through your life, all that we are, all that we have, all that we hope to be, is all been given to us by the grace of God. He says, "I want to give it to you, not because you've earned it, but I just want to give it to you." This grace that comes from God, it's been extended to us over and over and over again because I found that I had to ask Jesus to forgive me more than once. And He forgave me more than once. In His grace, He has restored my relationship to Him many, many times. Now, God has given grace. The thing that I want to suggest to us, if you have received grace, right? Let me ask you, are you willing to extend grace to other people? It's one thing to receive grace, and I'm grateful for that. But do other people need grace as well? Are there anybody ever offend you that needs you to extend grace? Anybody ever fail you and you need to extend grace? You see, if God has extended grace to us, well, since He's extended grace to us, I need to be grace, show grace to other people. Because if I've been forgiven, I need to forgive. Grace has been given to me. So I'm suggesting that I need to understand salvation is by grace, and I need to extend that grace to other people. But let me suggest another person you need to extend grace to. That's yourself. Because sometimes we come to God and we ask God to forgive us, and He saves us or He delivers us, but we still feel guilty. We still carry around this weight because we failed and we didn't do what we ought to do. Is it all right to extend grace to myself and accept God's forgiveness and God's grace and go on and be the person God wants it to be without going around beating myself over the head again and again and again because I failed in some way? So I'm suggesting not only do we receive grace, we extend grace to other people, but we also extend it to ourselves. No, we don't deserve it. Understand that. We'll never be worthy of it, but extend grace. The devil's the one who wants you to go around feeling guilty. The devil wants you to go around with a heavy heart and a spirit that's broken when God's already forgiven you, so you need to forgive yourself and extend grace to yourself. So I need to admit, salvation is by grace. No other way. Secondly, on your notes, if you're writing them in, believe salvation is God's gift. Believe salvation is God's gift. It says that you've been saved by faith, by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that anyone may boast. I think so for individuals, understanding grace and understanding God's gift as a gift is hard sometimes for us to believe. We live in a country, at least used to be, and maybe it's changing, but used to be we felt we had to earn everything we got. And if we didn't earn it, we didn't think we should accept it. In our background, in my background, and maybe in yours, if you know individuals who would never admit they needed anything because they had to earn it, and if they didn't earn it, there was somehow there was a shame to that, and so they couldn't accept it. I'm afraid this country is getting more on an entitlement mindset, which I wish we didn't. But that idea of not receiving anything sometimes gets us in trouble because when God wants to give us grace as a gift, it's hard for us to receive it. Because somehow we feel like, I've got to earn it. I've got to do something to be worthy of it and worthwhile. And yet the Scripture says it is a gift. So if you work for it, is it a gift? No. So I need to recognize this salvation, this grace of God, is a gift. The Scripture I've listed on your notes says, in the same way, when there has come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. But otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If it's by works, it's no longer by grace. And so when we come to Christ, we say, Lord, I've sinned against You. I've disobeyed You. I don't deserve anything, but You offer me the gift, and I'm going to open my hands and take it by faith, which I'll talk about faith in a moment. But I receive it as a gift. I will never earn it. On the other hand, aren't you glad you don't have to earn it? Did you ever get enough together, enough points, if you will, to God to say, okay, you're good enough, now you can get in. Hallelujah. It's a gift, and I want to receive it. God's given that gift in Christ when He died on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is coming back. It's all a gift. And so I need to believe that it is a gift and nothing else. Not try to earn it, not try to accept it, to just to receive it. Kevin Miller told about a pastor by the name of Michael who ministered to a 16-year-old girl. This 16-year-old girl was driving a vehicle and she backed into a telephone pole and the pole broke off and hit the top of the car and caused the death of a 12-year-old friend of hers who was in the car. She said to him, to Pastor Miller, I'm going to go and wash her dishes every day. I'm going to go and be their daughter every day. I'm going to go over and make up for the loss. But he reminded her, you'll never make up You can't make up for the loss of your friend, the death of your friend. He said, all you can do is receive forgiveness. And fortunately, the family of this 12-year-old daughter forgave her. And all she had to do is receive it. She could not earn it. It was impossible for her to make up for what she did. Aren't you glad that you don't have to make up for what you've done that's wrong? That God in His grace forgives it, removes it, and brings us into that gift of salvation. So, it's a gift. Third area is, receive salvation through faith. Through faith. He talks about, it is, we've been saved through faith by the grace of God. It's a gift of God. By faith. Scripture says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Faith. In this scripture, he's saying you believe what God said. Does forgiveness on the basis of God's grace make sense to the mind? No. I need to believe what God said. He said that even though we're having trouble, he talked about the proof of the testing of our faith is wonderful, but we believe in Him. We receive by faith the outcome of Jesus, the salvation of our souls. In other words, we just take it by faith. We just receive it by faith. I know that's hard to explain, perhaps, but it's something that we need to recognize is there. When you read through the Bible, when you read about the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, how did he get saved? By faith. When you read about the Philippian jailer, when Paul preaches to them about Jesus, how did he get saved? He believed what Paul told him about Jesus. When you read about the Ethiopian eunuch where Philip goes down by the road and talks to him about Jesus, how does a eunuch get saved? By faith. Just believing the message that he had heard. Receiving it as true. I'm glad that we don't have to understand it to believe it. We live in an age where there's all kinds of information available. If you want to know something, you get a computer and you click on whatever and you get all kinds of stuff. And we want to explain everything. But when it comes to the matter of believing what God has done and how He's at work in our life, I just to receive what He has done, and I don't have to be able to explain it. Have you ever tried to really explain why God did what God did? Can you explain the love of God in Jesus, how much He's willing to die for us, and how much He's willing to live here for a while, die on the cross, be raised again, go to, and ascend? Can you really explain that? Not really. You just believe what God said, and you know that when you believe what God says, you can trust Him. He'll do what He said He would do. And I think that's true. Not only do we get saved by faith, but we need to live by faith and by grace. Sometimes I think that we feel like if we are not doing things like we ought to as a Christian, we feel like grace is no longer there. That somehow we still got to make up for our differences, our failures, and our faults. Do you feel that way? You say, well, God's not going to love me today. He's not going to use me today because I didn't do well today. I messed up somewhere along the way. It's still grace. And it's still faith that God says He loves me and He's going to love me no matter what I do, where I go, or how I behave. Now, I recognize He wants to behave differently when I'm good, but it's salvation. I receive it by faith. I just believe I'm lost. I'm going to go to hell without Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, ascended to heaven, and He's my Savior. And by faith, I say, Jesus, I receive what You said. I accept You into my life. That sounds simple, but it's not. It's simple to do, but it's a marvelous thing that God does when by faith we accept what He said and we let Him come into our life. Another way of thinking about it is we just trust Him for what He says. Some of you are aware and thought about, ever watch the trapeze artists? You watch those swinging back and forth and they jump and they clutch one another. I read it that said that the person who is the catcher has to be the catcher always. The person who is swinging and going to turn loose has to not try to grab the person that's going to catch. They have to trust that when they turn loose and swing through the air, that the other person is going to grab them and going to hold on to them. Sometimes we have to understand, we have to trust God like that. We can't explain it. We just turn loose and trust Him. And you know what? God has always, always caught every person who has turned loose to Him. He will always catch you. You can be sure of that. I don't know any person who's ever given their heart to Christ who wished they didn't. Every person glad for what they did when they committed themselves to Christ. So through faith, I receive what Christ has done, and I want Him to work in us. On the other side of your notes, cooperate with God's grace at work in us. Cooperate with God's grace. It says, as a result, we're saved, not as a result of what we did, but we just receive it by faith. Verse 10 talked about we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are His workmanship. Let me ask you, when God does something, how well does He do it? Does He always do it that way? Always? Now, this scripture says that we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ. It's all related to Christ. We are His workmanship. You know what I like to think about this is we are God's masterpiece. Each of you are God's masterpiece. And when He comes into your life and saves you, you are indeed His new creation. You are His masterpiece of what He's doing in you and through you. I like the scripture listed on your notes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that really true? Is that just a few words on a page? I need to recognize that by grace, not only am I saved, but I am His workmanship. God's masterpiece. But when He saves you and He starts this masterpiece of work, is it finished yet? Is He finished with you yet? So this master is still working on you. Aren't you glad He is? I'm glad He hadn't quit yet. I see some things in my life I don't like. I want Him to change those yet. So not only has He saved us and created in us a new life in the first place, but He's still shaping us and molding us, taking through the things that will make us what we ought to be. Sometimes those things I don't like. Sometimes He takes me through problems and heartaches and difficulties because it'll teach me to trust Him. And it'll, you know, somebody called it sandpaper that sands off the rough edges. But He's still working on me. Until, what's the ultimate goal of Jesus in each of our lives? What's the final product? When He gets through carving us, chipping us out, what are we going to look like? Going to look like Jesus. Is that a pretty good goal or not? So by grace, He's working in us, His workmanship here. So we need to celebrate who we are and celebrate what God's doing in us. The devil wants you to go around feeling defeated and down in the dumps and feeling, I'm bad, I'm terrible, I'm not doing very good, I'm all those negative things. That's not what God's from God. God says, you're my masterpiece. You're my child. I saved you. I created you. I'm remaking you. I'm molding you in the shape of my Son. I'm proud of you. I love you. I like you. And so because we are God's, we cooperate with God's grace in us by accepting the fact that He is shaping us to make us what we ought to be. I didn't put it on your notes, but how many of you know Philippians 1:6? He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. He's shaping us. Because I don't think I want to go to heaven quite like I am. I'd like to have some changes before I get there. I remember one individual said, I'm glad God's working on me so there won't be such a drastic change at the end. but He is changing us. We are His workmanship. So we need to celebrate. If there are things in our life that don't belong, He'll change them. He'll help us and change those areas that don't belong or add things that need to be. But He's at work in us, so I want to cooperate with the fact that we are His workmanship and leave here today so that your head high saying, I'm a child of the King. I'm God's handy at work. I'm His masterpiece, and I'm going to serve Him because that's who I am in Jesus. Don't go out with your head down and you're defeated because Jesus is at work in you if you're a child of God. He is. The last thing on it says, thought about doing good works. So I simply said, do good works for which God saved me. Verse 10 talks about us being in workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is not that we don't do good works. It is that we don't do good works to get saved. But when I get saved, there ought to be good works out of my life. Because when I get saved, who comes to live within me? When I receive Christ as Savior, as Lord, where does He come to live? In me. So if He's in me, guess what? He ought to be acting like He's in me in the way I relate to people in my life. Ought to come out of my life some good things. How in the world can Jesus not live in your life and not produce some good fruit? I realize we've got room to grow. I realize there are places that we want Him to work on us yet. But God saved us to do something, to be of service to Him, to honor Him. So let me read the first scripture passage on your notes. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He talked about working out your salvation. Now, notice He didn't say work to get your salvation. He said work it out, to live it out. That's why you pray. That's why you read the Bible. That's why you come to worship. That's why you ask God to change things in your life. You're working out what's already there. You've heard this before probably, but when a baby is born, assuming the child's normal, is a potential in this baby when this baby is newborn, is a potential for talking in that baby. Is a potential for walking in that baby. Is a potential for the kind of lifestyle he's going to have in that baby. It's already there, but the baby has to learn how to live that out. And so you teach them to walk. You stand behind them while they fall. And you tell them, hey, does God do that with us? Does God see within us what we are, what we can be? And He's there to help us work this out, to develop it as we study, as we pray, as we live, as we follow Him. He's at work in us. So he talked about working out our salvation with fear and trembling and being aware that God's at work. For God is at work in us to will and to do. I like that. Notice, we do what God wants us to do because we want to. I tell people, I'd come to worship if you didn't pay me to come. Why? It's a duty. I've got to go. No. Christ saved me. By His grace, I belong to Him. By His grace, I'm going to heaven. I want to be here. I want to serve. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. Because when I realize the grace of God has come into my life, and He has done what He's done, and is doing what He's going to do, and the future that's coming, I want to do things for Him. I want to honor Him. I want to serve Him. I want to teach a class. I want to share my faith. I want to be involved in whatever way He put me together. So God saved us for work. And He's there to help us not only want to, but then do it. I'm so glad God didn't say, you guys go live it now, I saved you. He said, no, I'll save you and then I'll help you do it. And you ask Him to help you and you do those things that He called you to do. The other passage says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He said, we're praying for you. He didn't say it all the time, in fact, he said, to be filled with the knowledge of God, spiritual wisdom and understanding. How soon are you going to get all that? Is it going to take a while? Do you need to be in the Word, reading it yourself, studying it yourself? I mean, I like people to come and listen to me preach, but that isn't the issue. You need to be in the Word yourself. I could tell you something wrong. Don't plan on it, but could I? Yeah. You need to be in the Word. So if you're going to increase in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, you need to be in the Word yourself, asking the Holy Spirit of God who wrote the book to tell you what He meant by what He wrote, and you begin to see it for yourself. It's a whole lot different when you see it and you understand it as you read the Word than it is you hear somebody else tell you and you think it's pretty good. But when you see it, you know it. You've seen it. And I challenge all of us to be in the Word, because the good works that God wants us to do has to have the basis of the Word of God in our heart and life, living that out so that we can produce the kind of works that He wants, because we're in touch with God and we're trying to walk in obedience to what the Word says. So, He fills us in spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. I'm grateful He didn't say I have to be worth it. But I walk in a manner worthy of the representation of Jesus. What that means is my lifestyle, the way I behave, the things I do every day are such that when people watch me, they say, that looks like Jesus. That looks like Jesus. That person is living worthy of the name of Jesus because He represents Him well. They might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in everything. Oh, I regret some days when I do stuff and I don't ask Jesus what He wants them to do that day. Sometimes I get involved in a project and I'm just thinking about the project afterwards. I say, I didn't even talk to Jesus today about that. I want to be worthy of His name. I want to live aware of Him. To please Him in everything I do. Bearing fruit in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. So, these good works, these lifestyle. I'm grateful He didn't give us a list and said, these are the good works I want all of you to do. Do you suppose that God has a different good work for each one of you who are here? A different approach, a different way, a different attitude, a different process? Think about it. If everybody liked this preacher, what would we have? You don't want to be there. He made you different because He wants you. He's got things He wants you to do that He distinctly made you to do. You're His workmanship, and you're unlike any other person God ever made. Because He wants you to fulfill a ministry and a purpose that He had in mind for you to do that fits into the whole kingdom of God and the whole ministry of God. And He said, I'm going to put these people together under my leadership so that I can get done what I want done by having all the body to do that. And so, those good works will be different for each one of us. There are some basics like prayer and the Word and worship, but there are a lot of things that are different. The last verse on your note says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering from the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us to the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted in Christ Jesus from all eternity. That's what I'm talking about. You realize when Jesus saved you, He saved you with something in mind He wants to do with each of you. Distinctly you. Nobody else will do that but you. Somebody might do some of the same kind of things you do, but they won't do it like you do it. They won't. Because he didn't want you to be like somebody else. He wants you to be you in the lordship of Christ and producing those good works, those kinds of life and ministry that Jesus wants. And He'll help us do that. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. I'm kept by grace. I'm used by grace. And I get to go to heaven by grace and get all the blessings by grace. All God's gift. Every bit of it. And even the fact that we get to serve Him in some way. That's His gift. Could God do it without us? Yeah, He could. But He chose to use us. Thank you, Lord. In the kingdom of God, You chose each one of us to say, I want you to serve me in this way, and I want you to cooperate with me, and I'll use you. It's a blessing for God to use us. And so those good works, whatever they are, will be different for each individual, but I want them. We're saved by grace. So if you're here this morning, you've never been born again, Jesus offers you grace. He said, I died on the cross for you. I rose from the grave. I ascended to heaven, and I'm going to come back. I want to give your heart and life to me. As I already talked about, you receive Him by grace as a gift through faith. Many of us know that, but I pray we'll never forget it. We are saved by the grace of God. We need to honor Him, praise Him, adore Him. When we think about that and think about all He's done for us, it ought to produce in us then a wonderful willingness to say, God, can I serve You in some way? How do You want to use me? Because You have done many wonderful things and are going to do more wonderful things in my life. So I trust You. Let's bow together. If you're here today and don't know Jesus, I want to remind you, it's by grace. You'll never earn it. You'll never achieve it. But He died for you. He's willing to give you new life in Christ, to forgive you your sins, to take your life and transform it if you let Him. So I ask you today, if you've never done that, would you do it right now? Many of us already say we know we're Christians. We know we're going to heaven. Are you living a life by grace, or are you going around with a heavy load on your shoulders? Some past, some guilt, something you need to bring to Jesus. Say, Jesus, deliver me from this. You've forgiven me. Help me to forgive myself. Help me to extend grace to myself. There may be places that He wants you to serve and you've not been serving. God, thank You for Your grace. Yes, I'll serve You. There may be things in our life that we look at and say, God's been so good to me and I'm doing things I ought not to do. God, would You forgive me and take that out of my life by grace? Help us to be available. Lord, thank You that You're here among us. You know what needs to take place in each of our lives. Thank You, Lord, You look inside us and You love us, but You also love us enough to bring about transformation when we yield to You. So, Lord, You know what needs to happen in every person in this room today. May Your Spirit have full control as we think together about what You're saying to us by Your Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing. And I encourage you to come and say, I'm giving my heart to Christ. I'm renewing a relationship. I'm asking Him to deal with me in some way. So, as we sing, you come. Let's stand together, if you would.